Two-time defending champion Lance Armstrong holds the overall lead in this year's Tour de France. When Armstrong first rode to victory in Paris, it was the heartwarming story of the year, the courageous American who came back from the brink of death to defeat testicular cancer. But commentator Frank DeFord says that was 2 years ago.
This year, though, as Armstrong grinds toward the Champs-Élysées, set, it seems, to wear the yellow jersey for a third straight time, it is a different story altogether. Now, all the talk and even more whispers are devoted to charges that Armstrong must be taking drugs. Possessing only circumstantial evidence, albeit a compelling web of circumstantial evidence, the accusations directed at Armstrong construct a potent syllogism. You have to take drugs to compete successfully in a sport like bicycle racing. Ergo, since Armstrong is a successful bicycle racer, he must be taking drugs. It does not really matter how vigorously Armstrong protests. There will always be a cloud over him, and for that matter, over all athletes who compete in certain sports. Is this fair? No. Is it sad? Yes. Does everybody do it? Well, what do you think? You probably think they do. Why, the drug shadow that looms over much of sport is so great now that when the ballot was taken to choose the Olympic city for 2008, much discussion centered around the fact that the IOC would never vote for Paris because of the fear that the meddling French gendarmes might conduct drug raids during the games. Better to run away from the problem. And indeed, Paris got slim support. For convenience sake, our IOC stalwarts might as well put the 2012 games in Bogota, Colombia. Meanwhile, in the United States, the Track and Field Federation was chastised by a special commission for not cooperating sufficiently with the international sports community in drug matters. The Americans claimed they were caught in a blind switch, fearing that if they were too quick to release the results of positive drug tests, they would be violating our due process. But the panel concluded that we were leaning over so far backwards to be fair to individuals that we were being obstructionists toward the international rules. The irony is that the United States is a leader in random drug testing, proving once again that the whole issue is so confounding that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Then, too, as the sophistication of the drugs increases apace, so too, to use a sports term, does the degree of difficulty in discovering them. At the same time, I certainly don't sense any great public outrage. Drugs are, after all, such a part of our lives that it's hard to distinguish between good drugs and bad drugs. The Europeans use the stronger word, doping. That at least conveys in language the more negative aspect. In the 20th century, the great sports hypocrisy was amateurism. We all knew that in many sports, so-called amateurs were being paid under the table. And nobody got very exercised about it until finally we just said, ah, to heck with it, let everybody be a pro. It seems to me that the drug issue is the amateurism of 21st century sports. And since the public is not in high dudgeon, I suspect that eventually we'll say, ah, to heck with it, let everybody take drugs. And after all, that makes a level playing field.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.